Heidelberg Catechism, question and answer 59, 60, and 61. How to become right with God. How to become right with God. Our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, today you will hear exactly that. How to become right with God. And our headings are three and very simple. You must believe what the Bible says to be right with God. Number one. Second, but you must have faith to believe what the Bible says so that you can become right with God. And then, of course, must conclude with the application. What is the result of believing by faith what the Bible says so that you can become right with God? Or for those who have become right with God. Our goals are that you will see the need for faith and you will use this gift of faith to receive the full promises you have in Jesus to be saved. First, you must believe what the Bible says to be right with God. Question 59 says, what good does it do you, however, to believe all this? Together, in Christ, I am right with God, an heir to everlasting life. So here it is. And this is how it flows in the Heidelberg Catechism. If you say, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified dead, and was buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. If you believe in the Holy Spirit, if you believe in the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting, then you are right with God, and you are an heir to heaven, or of heaven. And that means you can never, ever go to hell. You're assured of eternal life now, that's what we looked at the last time, and you're assured of heaven for eternity. On the contrary, without believing in Jesus Christ, without believing what we read there, you are not right with God, and you will die in your sins, and you will go to hell forever. Added to the guilt that you will deal with in this life. But I will be nothing compared to the horrors and guilt of hell. That's the first point. What must you believe? What the Bible says, as summarized for us in the Apostles' Creed. Second point, you must have faith to believe what the Bible says. So question 60. How are you right with God? Together, only by true faith in Jesus Christ. Even though my conscience accuses me of having grievously sinned against all God's commandments and of never having kept any of them, and even though I am still inclined toward all evil, nevertheless, without my deserving it at all, out of sheer grace, God grants and credits to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never sinned nor been a sinner, as if I had been as perfectly obedient as Christ was obedient for me. All I need to do is to accept this gift of God with a believing heart. Now, that's the first thing, first one. But let me point out a couple of things. The things you need will be righteousness and holiness. And when that happens, God looks at you as if you had never sinned. You know how much sin you have in you. You know how often you sin in thought, word, and deed. You know how you sin even today. And then God looks at you and sees none. So how does this happen? Question 61. Why do you say that by faith alone you are right with God? Together, it is not because of any value my faith has that God is pleased with me. Only Christ's satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness make me right with God. And I can receive this righteousness and make it mine in no other way than by faith alone. So, how are you able to believe what is confessed in the Apostles' Creed and then be made right with God? Only by faith. So faith is essential to your salvation and to your future. And if you have no faith, you have no future. At least not a good one. So the question then comes up, if we need faith to believe what the Bible says, what is faith? And it's important that we get this. And I'm sure many of you know this, but let it serve as a good reminder to you that faith is the means, the only means by which you receive what God offers to you. Faith is like the spiritual hand from God. It's the hand of your soul. Faith is a taker. It's a noun. It's not a verb. By faith, you receive knowledge of what Jesus did and assurance of what Christ has done for you, and then you are saved forever. Now, we'll get into the details of faith in another sermon, but there are two things you have to see here, knowledge and assurance. This is not a blind faith. If you want a blind faith, believe in evolution. That's blind. There's no knowledge that is there. They're guesses, hypotheses, theories. But faith is based on knowledge. We know and have recorded in the Scriptures facts about God, proof of things that God has said and done. We know who He is. And on top of that, we have that awareness in our souls. So it's not just some theoretical thing or a blind faith when people say, oh, just believe everything will be okay. And they don't have any object of the faith and they don't have any material things to put their trust in. Let's read a few Bible passages. We'll mix them up a little bit. But Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, probably the most famous passage that reminds us that we are saved through faith. And by the way, we're not saved by faith. We're saved through faith. We're saved by grace through faith, to be more specific. Together. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Romans 3:28. Together. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. This was that verse that really struck Martin Luther. Luther, when he came out of the Roman Catholic Church, he reminded himself over and over again that this is by faith, by grace through faith. No faith, no salvation. And it's really saying, stop trying to please God by your good works to be saved. You can't do it. Galatians 2:16, together. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law, no flesh shall be justified. Let me read this one now. Follow along. Galatians 3:8 and following. Yet indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. And remember, the Apostle Paul had a lot of influence. He had wealth. He had many things. And he says, I count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness. That's what he was trying to do, doing all these good works and hoping, working for the priests in Jerusalem, that he would earn enough credit with God to be saved, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. So he's looking for this righteousness thing, and he only finds it in Christ. That's what he needed. He tried the good works and found that it didn't work. Next, you have no right to faith. Faith is a gift. I know this time when you're always thinking about gifts and they have all these negotiations back and forth and their gift exchanges and all of that. A gift exchange is not technically a gift. A gift is when you give someone freely something because you want to give it to them. And this is the one you needed the most, because you needed faith to receive the things that are written in the Scriptures. You see how humbling this is? You needed it. You didn't have it. Someone had to give it to you. You desperately needed faith, and it was a gift. It was free for you, of course, but somebody paid for it. It's only in our socialistic minds we think, well, I didn't pay for it. It was free. And he said, how did you get from the government? Well, it wasn't free. Whatever you got probably cost twice as much, because the government had to pay somebody to take the money from somebody else and then buy what you, or send the money to you. It was quite costly. Not with salvation. It was free. So you must show your appreciation for it. Only the most ungrateful would ignore the one who gave him the most needful gift of his life. But more than that, you will share it. What is worse than to hoard a gift that others need and you have a bountiful supply of it? Suppose you have a cure for COVID. You get COVID, you take it, you feel better. And then you know all the people around you are sick, but you say, I think I'm going to keep this. Maybe I'm going to need this again next week. And then there are people getting sick and dying. And you hoard it. Would that be good? That would be terrible. You'd feel terrible about it. And this is so much better, because this is a healing of the soul. You will share it. Next, you must have faith, but not in some esoteric thing. And, well, I have faith in God. And you say, you believe God exists. It's not sufficient. Everyone believes God exists. Even the liars who say they're atheists, they believe in God. They deny it so they could live however they want. The Bible says in us, there's that awareness of the Creator in us. But believing in God doesn't fix the problem in just the generic way. You must have faith in Jesus Christ. He must be the object of your faith. The one who was qualified and the one who actually did the work for saving you. So your faith has an object. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 30 and 31 together. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and satisfaction and redemption, that, as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. Again, you see how this humbles us. We have to put our faith in someone else. 1 John 5:10 through 12 together. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of his Son. And this is the testimony, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. Imagine calling God a liar. Anyone who rejects Jesus Christ is calling God a liar. a liar. Don't be in that position. You don't want to be in that kind of position. Next, by faith, God grants you the credits of Christ's salvation out of pure love. So you needed someone, you needed faith. To get that faith, you go to God for it. He gives it as a gift. And he reminds us that faith has an object. We look to Christ. And when you receive what God offers, well, it's a reminder, first of all, that this is out of, God offers this out of pure love. God grants you the credits out of pure love. It's not simply that, you know, sometimes you might give somebody something, but you don't really care about them. You just see they have a need and, okay, here, somebody is desperate for money to buy a sandwich or something. That's all right. But when God gives us the salvation, it's from a heartfelt love for us. Romans chapter 4, verse 2 through 5, together. For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now to him who works, the wages are not counted as grace, but as debt. But to him who does not work, but believes on him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is accounted for righteousness. Abraham didn't earn his keep. He didn't earn his salvation. He simply received what Jesus offered. And read in John, the Bible says, Jesus himself said, Abraham looked forward for the days of Jesus and rejoiced because he saw the one who would die for him. Remember when Abraham had that vision at night, late in the evening, when he fell into sleep, and then here is the Lord walking between the cut pieces of meat? Who was the one who was split for breaking the covenant? Jesus was. And what was Abraham doing? He was just looking on. Can you imagine him smiling? He didn't have to go through that. He broke the covenant, and that's what you do. Remember when they had the pieces of meat, they were saying, may I be cut in two like these animals if I break the covenant? And Abraham did. But Jesus was making the covenant for him, and that's why Jesus died. That's love. That's love. And the truth is this. If you cannot rest in God's credits in Jesus, you cannot rest. Your soul will be wandering and weary. That's why this fits so nicely with the sermon that came before. How do you get that rest? How do you get that peace in Jesus Christ? And you know, this goes against all the ego of the time, where people are saying, if it's got to be, it's up to me. And kids are being bombarded with these lies in school. And it's all stoking their ego. But there's no thumping of the chest and say, I did this. You simply, thankfully receive what God does. But there are things which are hindrances to your faith. We need to finish off the section with that. What are things that hinder your faith and then rob you of being made right with God or enjoy the rightness we have with God? First of all, your conscience can make you feel hopeless when you sin. Listen carefully. This is what every Christian faces. When you do something terrible and you want to beat yourself up, and the first thing that comes to your mind, maybe I'm not a Christian. Look at the way I've lived. Look at the things I've said and done. Look how I've betrayed loved ones. You must reject the temptation to feel hopeless. Even if you are guilty of breaking all of God's laws, you remember that you were saved by God's grace through faith. Don't allow guilt to make you despondent and overwhelm you and make you depressed. That's what the devil wants. It's the devil's trap to make you feel guilty and hopeless and give up. That's the scheme of the sneaky snake. Look at Romans chapter 3, verse 9. You want to learn who you are? Even as the one who has been saved by Jesus, declared righteous and his life and death credited to your account. Let's read verse 9 together. Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they are all under sin. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. That's what Paul's saying. You think we're better than the Gentile people? You look at their lives and you say, oh, can't believe they would do that. You think we're better, Paul is saying? No. We still sin. We still sin. A second hindrance, you might be tempted to think you deserve good things from God. Let me read Romans 7:23 first. Together, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. So a few chapters later, Paul explains this even more. He says, I got this battle that's going on within me. That's the struggle every Christian has. Suppose he said, well, I kind of feel rotten on the inside because of the things I've thought, things that have passed through my mind, and therefore I'm not going to write anymore. I'm not going to be a missionary anymore. I'm not going to stand up publicly and preach the gospel. So many souls would have been lost. But instead, he set aside, by the grace of God, those feelings of shame, casting them upon Jesus and picking himself up. Then the second hindrance. You might be tempted to think you deserve things from God because you are special. That's the modern generation. Now, it's not limited to them, the older generation as well. But many people, they feel so special because of what you do or because of who you are, but you don't deserve anything from God. You have no right to faith. You have no right to salvation. Both faith and salvation are gifts of God and are from sheer grace. Look again, Titus 3, verse 4 and 5 together. But when the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. You may not boast on any intrinsic ability in you, for you could not merit or earn your salvation. Again, Romans 3:24 together. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. And furthermore, God doesn't need anything from you. So he has no obligation to give you faith, to receive what the Bible says so that you are saved. How can a sinful man attain to the heights of God's holy majesty when he's full of sin? Man became darkened by sin, and only God can shine that light again and make you receive what he has done. Third hindrance, some people believe they are justified when God sees faith working in them and God is therefore compelled to reward faith. But that is not true faith. No one is saved by covenant faithfulness or by his action. You see, faith does not include works. This is a dangerously false doctrine that is close to the Roman Catholic heresy, and it robs Christ of the glory. In fact, you are not saved by faith itself. It is what you receive by faith, the person and the work of Jesus Christ, that saves you. Through faith, then, God declares you righteous. Faith itself is not rewarded, but the righteousness or the justification that you receive through faith that is rewarded by God. A fourth obstacle to faith, to your salvation. Faith is not a mental agreement with the Word of God, as the Roman Catholics teach. Those who think faith is simply mental agreement with certain facts do not, in fact, have faith. It has to be a deep, inward trusting in God that saves you. And then I want to touch on one last thing. A fifth one. Fifth hindrance. It's too easy to think that I have knowledge of the Bible and therefore I'm saved. I know some people who really know their Bibles, but they don't know Jesus. They only know that in the head. They've never experienced that in the heart. And that's the kind of faith we need. And it's interesting, too, that we have the distinction in Greek and in Hebrew of the different words for knowledge. We can know 2 plus 2 equals 4, and that fits in our head. But we need to experience that knowledge in our hearts, the knowledge of what Jesus did. Then there's the Reformed faith. That's what we hold to here. We have the most accurate doctrines in the world, but even that doesn't save you. It can't. The best doctrines wouldn't save. And then some people argue, like you find in Romans as well, the way the Jews argued, they argued that heritage or family relations would give them a pass into heaven. Now, family relations are good. If you have Christian family, and you children should remember this, it's wonderful that you are raised in a covenant family where your parents will teach you the Word of God, but your parents can't save you, and your relationship to them can't save you. They just give you access to the Word of God. You have to receive that Word for yourself, every child in here, otherwise you're lost. And you will go to hell. And you will regret it for eternity. You know, sometimes you do something bad and it fades from your memory. After maybe a few months, a year or two, it goes away. When you're in hell, it will stay as fresh as the day you betrayed God. So we come to the final point. We know that we must believe, and we know that faith is a means by which we believe. And what is the result of believing what God says? Well, your perfect Savior in His life and death causes God to declare you to be perfect. What a thing. Romans 4, 24 and 25 together. But also for us, it shall be imputed to us who believe in Him who raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered up because of our offenses and was raised because of our justification. Those who are justified as treated as if they had never sinned. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says together, for He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. So you simply must receive by faith what God has done for you through Jesus Christ. A couple more passages, John 3:18. And remember the context. You have God so loved the world. And in this context, He says, Jesus speaking in verse 18 together, He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Of course, it's not simply believing that the Lord existed, but believed in what He did for you, how He obeyed, and then how He suffered for you in the end. And when this happens, You have peace that starts to grow in your hearts. It's like you plant this tree that is planted, and then the Lord takes care of it, and it starts to grow. And you're left with pure amazement. How Christ turned you around. How he gave you a different direction to life. You had one direction in which you were going and was all about the world's success, and you were going to be great in your career, and you're going to have the perfect family, and you'll be able to have the nice car. And then suddenly you're thinking, oh, well, those things are okay, and there's nothing wrong in having a nice family or a nice car and all of that. But the vision opens up and it's much bigger. And you're thinking of your relationship with God, and you're thinking about eternity as well. That's pure amazement. You know you're a Christian, and you know you have a relationship with your Heavenly Father. And by the way, if you don't know this relationship, you need to talk to God to establish one. And you just talk to Him like we're talking. And when this happens, then you can worship God. You have this relationship this way. What a blessing that is. Look at Romans 5, verse 1 now, and 1 and 2 together. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. See where it goes? To joy. It's much richer. It's nice to have the nice things of this world and careers and all. But when you know Jesus Christ, that peace, with all the troubles around, as you heard all around you, you can have peace in your heart. And you have the hope of glory that none can take away. And third, you have everlasting life that begins now, that we looked at before, and then continues for eternity. Final passage, John 3:36. Together, he who believes in the Son has everlasting life, and he who does not believe the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abides in him. There is the other side. There's no neutrality. It's not Christ and then nothing. It's Christ or hell. Let's conclude. Only in Jesus you are right with God. And you can only be in Jesus by receiving his work of living and dying for you that you find in his word. And you can only do so through faith. And that faith is a gift. So salvation is 100% of the Lord. And the result, he then declares you to be righteous. He writes your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have eternal peace with God. You have joy and peace in your soul now. You can worship him. You know what it's like to have access to the most important person in the universe 24/7? What a blessing that is. So brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, what an incredible thing your salvation is. You were totally incapable to save yourself, but your sins were removed permanently. Be amazed. You were declared righteous. That's how God sees you. Oh, we still sin in this life, but God sees you through the blood of Jesus Christ and sees you as perfect. Let this humble you. But here's the other thing. You continue to sin throughout your life, and you continue to be forgiven through Jesus Christ. This should humble you more. Ask God then to destroy your ego. You know why? So you can serve him better. You can be thankful. And then boast of Christ to others. Not how good you are and all the nice things you have, but praise him in the morning, the noon, nighttime, for all that you are and have is because of the grace of God. And then share this treasure to the world. But I always say, start in your home. Let those and those children, wife, husband, grandparents, let them hear about Jesus. Don't let them die and go to hell. And if you're not a Christian, let me say this. You will go to hell without faith in Jesus Christ. Faith is a gift only God can give, and you need faith to receive the work of Jesus Christ on the cross as your own work. And you will get faith if you look to God, if you ask Him for faith. He will give you faith by His Holy Spirit, and you will receive, and you will live. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for your words. Thank you for redeeming us by the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for giving us faith by which we could receive that. For without faith, it would just be a knowledge thing. We would see it, but not receive it. But now we are yours, and we have the hope of glory in our hearts. May we then live for you. Even when we sin, forgive us. And let our lives be a witness for Jesus Christ in a world of darkness. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.